Board of Supervisors is back in closed session. And can we have a report out?
Yes, the board went into closed session at 8:31 a.m. as the FUD District Board of Directors and came out at 9:04 a.m. During that time, the board considered agenda item 2F, and there was no reportable action taken. The remainder of the closed session agenda will be considered at the end of the board meeting.
Thank you. We'll do flag salute. Supervisor Allen-Gray.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Invocation chaplain.
Good morning. I'm CSO and Chaplain Jim Jacobson, or as many of you know me, as Deputy Dare to the kids in all the schools. Did want you to know this is the beginning of our eighth year of Dare, and the schools continue to receive us gladly, and most importantly, I do believe we're making a difference in the lives of the kids. In September, I'll be in Dunsmuir and Tuna Lake Basin, and many other schools throughout the year, so I just wanted to give you that quick update.
What's the percentage of schools in Siskiyou County that take Dare? Roughly.
I make it to about 90% of the schools when the schools are within another law enforcement jurisdiction like Mount Shasta or something like that. They often get their own DARE officer, and or at times I even, with the police chief's permission, go in and teach there as well. And in fact,
you.
We're looking into that right now. So, right?
Thanks.
All right. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today asking for your guidance and support on behalf of our Board of Supervisors as they begin this meeting. I ask that you grant them several things. Grant them wisdom to govern as they consider the interests and the challenging issues facing our county. Grant them a clear understanding of the needs of our people and the actions that must be taken to address those needs. Grant them a passion for what is just and right. Grant them the confidence that all in leadership need to pursue the right course. And grant them the ability to work together productively, yet value honest disagreement. In your son's name we ask these things. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, the board will be convening today as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District, Siskiyou Power Authority, and the In-Home Supportive Services Public Authority, and receives no additional compensation.
Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Item 6 is presentations from the public. This time slot is for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You will be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. Written comments can be presented if so desired, by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair. Comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of the board. I have 1 blue card, but that will be presented later. And is there anybody else in the room? Any online?
Showing none online.
Okay, we'll move on to consent. I would like to pull item T. Is there anyone else that needs to pull an item? Wishes of the board for the remainder.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay. Oh, just a second.
Who do we have for item T from public health?
Give me just a sec here for the.
Okay.
Let's do the consent agenda. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsett?
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Thank you.
Item T. Okay. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Dawn Wilson with Public Health. Item T, there's a correction that needs to be made on the SOLIS contract. And it's going to be on page 16. And it's going to be under the compensation item number 1. It states $165, and it should be $165,000.
Yeah, that makes a lot of difference over a few years. Thank you. Okay, so we can make that change and then have it come back for signature. So with that, which is...
Through the chair, the change can be made now, and then you'll just send it through DocuSign to get that signed. So it won't have to come back to the board.
Right, okay, great.
So chair Ogren, Sarah Collard, Health and Human Services, with that, the transfer of
funds.
Public Health also needs an adjustment.
So item Z, we'd have to pull that and then adjust that amount as well.
Which number on Z?
Z number 2.
Do we need to pull that back out of the consent agenda that was approved?
Oopsie.
Yeah.
Yes.
To make that change?
Correct. I wasn't aware of that one.
And do you want to do the motion for both at the same time?
Yeah, that would be great. So item T and Z.
Which is the transfer funds.
Z2.
And what is the correction to the transfer?
It's under the account 723000. It says 157,500. That will need to be updated to $165,000.
Instead of $157,500?
Correct. And then we also need to add 729,000 or $6,500 to match the contract.
Will we be getting a new three-part original soon?
Yes.
If we could get it today. Yeah, if we could get it before the end of the meeting, the chair can sign it.
Okay.
And get it processed.
I can see that.
All righty. So... the motion maker?
So I will move to approve item T and Z2.
With the amendment?
With the amended.
Second.
All righty. Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Howe?
Aye.
Supervisor Harris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobson?
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving on. Departmental request item 8. We have item 8, Public Works, presentation of an update RE Copco Road project. Mr. Dean.
Good morning, Board. Tom Dean, Director of Public Works.
Thank you.
this is just a quick update on the Copco Road overlay project. After hearing from the public and learning that there is heavy equipment in the area that will not be removed this year, we are going to push the major construction phase of this from this year to next year. There's a couple of things to keep in mind. One, we still will be doing work this year in the Copco Road area. We're going to work on culverts and pulling ditches. The idea behind that is if we have another good wet winter, which we're hoping for, we want that area to be able to drain quickly so we can get on the construction earlier in the spring and summer next year. And the other thing to keep in mind is we will continue to do maintenance as required up there. We're not fully stopping work and leaving everybody to their own devices out there. We're just pushing the construction phase back a little bit. That gives Res time to get all their heavy equipment out. There's still a lot of big dump trucks and excavators working in that area. By the time we start construction, there will only be one minor project left on the Res side. And that will involve a couple of dump trucks and a medium-sized excavator to do some culvert repair. And that is nothing of concern for Public Works. I just wanted to deliver that update and answer any questions you might have.
Anyone? I think we're good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to item B, Office of Emergency Services.
Angela Davis, County Administrator. Brian Shinoni, Director of the Office of Emergency Services, has been busy this morning with the alert that the City of Wairika received with regards to the particle cloud, the cement particle cloud, but he is on his way here. So if you would like, we can
move ahead.
I know that he is actually pulling up in the driveway right now, but
okay.
We can definitely move on and then bring him back up.
Okay, so we'll move on to item C, and then maybe we'll hear about what's happening.
Correct.
Perfect. Okay, General Services Airports.
Okay.
Mr. Filippone.
Good morning, Supervisors.
We wanted to give you guys an update on the direction we're trying to decide on for the ALP for the Siskiyou County Airport. And I have Kimberly Horn here with me today. This is going to be kind of redundant to what you guys had in January of 24. But we kind of pushed this aside to finish the weed project, the taxiway project at Weed. And now we have some big deadlines coming up. And I have a presentation I've put together. I also put together an extended presentation, and that's the one that's in front of you now. It's the PowerPoint that's on the board, a little more condensed for timing. So with that, I have Kimberly Horn with me, and they want to give a quick presentation and show you where we're at. And we're just looking for guidance and support.
Morning, Madam Chair, Supervisors. My name is Andrew Scanlon. I'm the project manager on this with Kimberly Moore. We can go to the next one, please. So just a reminder of the purpose of this project. This is the airport layout plan update and narrative report for Siskiyou County Airport. This is something that is required by the FAA to be kept current. The last one was done quite some time ago. And these are meant to be snapshots in time. These are meant to be living documents and updated as the conditions at the airport change or as industry changes. It's appropriate to then update the document as well. It's important from the FAA perspective that we have projects shown on here as the first step of determining whether or not they are eligible for FAA grant money. Next one, please. So this was a slide I showed before. This represents the condition of the pavement out at the airport. Green is good, red is bad. As you can see, there is a need for some maintenance out at the airport. It's becoming rather critical. Can you flip to the next one, please? You can see some of the conditions we saw out there. There are different layers of pavement. They are delaminating, they're not adhering to each other. So these are some concerns that need to be addressed fairly soon. And this was conducted in 2023 is when these samples were taken. Next one, please. Really important in the FAA's funding determination is understanding what the critical aircraft is. When I presented in front of the Board of Supervisors a year and a half or so ago, we had some conversation about this. The FAA has some very specific definitions as to what is a critical aircraft. And those are in one of their advisory circulars, 5100-17. From their definitions, the critical aircraft at Siskiyou County Airport is the King Air aircraft. So you can think of these as the single-engine air tankers, roughly equivalent. And they require less runway width, less taxiway pavement width as well. Knowing that the mission of this airport and the vision of the airport from the community really is to be a firefighting facility, we are planning for as part of this ALP update, airport layout plan update, is to accommodate those larger air tanker aircraft, the C-130 size aircraft. Those are wider aircraft, they are faster aircraft, they do require more runway. I have more slides on that in a moment. Can we go to the next one, please?
All right, I'm gonna ask a question.
Sure.
Given this is a policy and there's always a flurry around this fire season, believe me, there's a lot of dialogue behind the scenes with Congress on this. How do we elevate the FAA's policy restricting funding to this airport and its primary mission to a level above the FAA?
It is with the legislatures. And the field office at the FAA is driven by what is in the advisory circulars and program guidance letters that they get from headquarters. So their hands are really tied. It's not that we don't have their support or their sympathy. It's just from the black and white perspective of the regulations, they are hand tied on what they can do.
I understand that. The question, though, is this policy or law with the FAA?
It is driven through regulations, so it's more of a law on how it's being treated.
I'd like to make sure I see what that law is rather than policy, because if it's just policy, I'd like to be able to elevate it above the FAA to the proper departmental level.
Understood.
If you could bring that back, I'd appreciate that.
Yep. Okay. When we talk about the runway length, what's where the rubber meets the road here is, again, that critical aircraft and that King Air, or the seat size aircraft. It only requires about 4,100 feet of runway. We have almost 7,500 feet of runway out there today. For the air tankers, the C-130s, the optimal runway length would be 7,100 feet. They can operate fairly comfortably off 6,100 feet. And if necessity required it, they could operate off 4,200 feet, but certainly not something we would want on a regular basis. So we would really want something 6,000 or more to really support these operations long term.
Do you know if those takeoff lengths are tied to dry weight or fully loaded weight?
Fully loaded weight, temperatures, and elevation here.
Okay, thank you.
Next slide, please. So we looked at a variety of different options, and this is what Adam was getting to. We have a couple different alternatives that we've been looking at, looking for some guidance and support on. I do have some costs that we'll be sharing here. This provides some of the background as to how those costs were developed. Looking at full depth reclamation as opposed to a full reconstruction, where we're taking all the material out and putting it all back. We have the raw material costs, the hard and soft costs included in these numbers, as well as some inflation factors in here. So if we go to the next slide, we can start looking at some of the options we're looking at. The first one is almost a do-nothing option, keeping the existing runway length, 7,500 feet. There are some safety areas that are of concern off the north end of the runway, so that's to the left on the slide. There's the very critical runway safety area. We have a public road going through that, as well as a ditch and a fence. Those would need to be mitigated to accommodate the larger airplanes consistently. And this is a little bit oversized based upon what we were hearing from the operators in the C-130s. Next slide, please. Next runway. There is, again, so no change option, keeping the existing runway length. From a funding perspective, the FAA will not provide a lot of support. Again, it comes back to what they are able to under their AIP handbook and the rules and regs associated with that. So of the almost $33 million estimated project costs, the FAA would be able to fund just over $5 million, leaving the rest to the county to be able to spend the...
Say that again. What was the total cost?
Almost $33
million. And they'll pick up $5
million? Correct.
Okay.
And the next slide, if you would, please. This shows more of the breakdown of the local share. A little bit of money that we can get from the state. They are limited on what they can provide, but most of it would be coming from the county. We also looked at an anticipated 20-year maintenance cost, because obviously this isn't once and done. We have to continue to maintain the pavement, and that's about $1.5 million over 20 years. Next one, please. This is the 7,100-foot option. When I presented in January, this was something that we felt was a reasonable option, and we had some guidance from the board that was indeed a reasonable option. 7,100 feet, again, that provides enough runway length for the C-130 to operate fully loaded here, even on a warm day. It is a little bit of a shortening of the runway, but we can use that to our advantage and pull some of those safety areas back onto airport property and not need to realign roads. So there's some benefits to that. It is slightly cheaper. If you go to the next slide, please. This is only $30 million total, and the county share would be about 24.5. And again, we have the 20-year anticipated maintenance cost, which is pretty close to the last one, still almost $1.5 million. And then the last one on the runway length, if you would please. So this is essentially what the FAA would support. This is not something we're promoting as a preferred option, but just for comparison, we wanted to share what the FAA would support. It's 4,100 feet of runway length, 75 feet wide, and total cost of this is about $5.9 million. In this case,
that doesn't compute. You're going to have to tell me how you went from $33 million down to $5.9 million and took away
3,000 square feet or 3,000 linear feet. Doesn't make any sense.
We're losing width as well, quite a bit.
How much? Half?
Half.
And you're still telling me that you can cut it by some 20, what, $7 million?
Yes.
I think somebody's wrong. That does not compute. It fits the agenda for where the FAA wants to go.
Respectfully, we're not agenda-driven by the FAA. This is our engineers putting the costs together. We can get the backup for you to show you the numbers behind it, but this is what it takes for the project. This isn't driven by what the FAA's willing, or excuse me.
Well, yeah, it is. You're telling us they only pay, you know, here they're going to pick up 90% if we go to 4,100 linear feet and make it narrower.
This is what would be eligible from the FAA. It doesn't mean the FAA will be able to afford that. And you'll notice that that number is consistent in all of them. What the eligible portion from the FAA is 4,100 feet by 75. That is all the FAA will consider eligible for grant assistance.
What, and I know this, you may know this, or I think maybe the staff knows it, but so what does the Forest Service pay the county to use that facility currently?
I don't have those numbers off the top of my head, but I can get them to you for sure.
Is it in the millions?
We do have a land use agreement.
I know, but is it in the millions? Is it in the tens of thousands, roughly? What is
it? It's closer to the tens of thousands.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And what is, if you're going to bring that back, if you bring back CAL FIRE's contribution as well?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And just to point out, we have had these AOP planning meetings, and part of the funding we're looking for is to create better infrastructure out there so CAL FIRE and the Forest Service can have a much better presence and we can drive some of that revenue too.
I mean, realistically, looking at this and knowing our area, the 7,100 by 150 feet is really the only option here. I mean, shortening and narrowing is not an option. I mean, that's just the way it is. I do agree, I would like to see, and it's something I've talked about for a while, I'd like to see a permanent tanker base put in. I'd like to see CAL FIRE and Forest Service tied in. One thing I would really like to see is, as an economic driver too, is some private hangars with leases. I know Hearst flies in frequently. You know, that would be a huge benefit to tie them in, maybe give them, you know, some sort of a lease agreement that benefits them for maybe helping, you know, pursue some of this stuff, bringing in some industry that can help with water, sewer, and, you know, maybe giving them some incentives. But, I mean, we're going to have to get creative because downsizing below 7,100, we just can't do it. You know, specifically for firefighting and everything else, it's necessary.
I agree. When we do have the AOP plan, you know, I would gladly come back and give another presentation or ideas to help with that, getting a better presence out there. I've been in close contact with the Forest Service and CAL FIRE. They want to have more of a presence out there. They want a bigger permanent tanker base there. I'm not speaking for them, but just through the talks with you know, the head of aviation of both agencies, they want to have a better presence out there. And Kinley Horn has come up with plans for hangar stuff, you know, driving more revenue out there and making the airport more appealing to the public. So that'll be a presentation down the road after we make a decision on what direction we want to go.
Awesome, thank you.
Yep.
So, follow up. How do we make that happen? I have a congressman that wants that to happen. I spend hours and hours on the phone with the agencies and with Congress on this very issue, yet nothing ever happens. CAL FIRE wants it to happen. Forest Service say they want to have it happen. My congressman says he wants it to happen. They know how important it is, but nothing happens. How do we get them off the dime? How can this board help that process other than just me screaming at people?
And we appreciate the screening. We're going to continue to push with the help of Kimley Horn and contacts in the Forest Service of CAL FIRE. We're going to continue to push. I do have a letterhead out to Megan Dahl and Doug Lamalfa's office. I'm hoping to hear something back on that soon.
If you don't, tell me.
What's that?
If you don't hear back, let me know.
Oh, I will. So we are going to continue to push.
Along those lines, I did have a, I was going to say this for later, but I have another question too. I am aware that a DC-10 can currently land out there, and so can the 737 tanker that was out there, I think, from Australia this year. The C-130 is a pretty high horsepower machine to be able to take off on short runways. How are these proposals going to affect those larger aircraft?
For those larger aircraft, for example, the 737-300, which was out here this season as well, you would frankly need more runway length, particularly on hotter days.
That's pretty critical, and it's very important to my constituents in the western part of the county, primarily because those VLATs, as you know, often are congested going in and out of Sacramento, going in and out of Medford. And boy, it would sure provide relief and a quicker response time to save some of my communities that keep burning up. In this county, if we had the airport fully functional for all aircraft and not just what the FAA seems to think we need.
An addition of critical nature is getting some of that infrastructure in place, the water, for example, tank storage, because if you have one of those VLATs come in, it really does stress the existing infrastructure.
I understand. We have a one-pump system that needs to be at least two pumps for the VLATs and even for the C-130. The two-pump system would fill those tankers much quicker and increase the response time.
Yeah.
I was going to save that for later, too, but, you know, this thing drives me nuts. I've been sitting in this seat for almost 12 years now. I hear the same thing every year. We don't have the money to fix it. You know, for crying out loud, the last meeting I had with the Forest Service, they asked me, I asked them point blank, what kind of money do you need? $65,000. They can't come up with $65,000 to fix the current tanks. Crying out loud, they got a $38 million annual budget for the Forest Service here locally, and $65,000 to fix a tank isn't a priority. We need to make it a priority. And stop, you know, stop this. It's important in the summer, and then everybody forgets about it until the next summer when it's needed. Thanks for hearing me. As you thought, pretty passionate about this darn thing. I'm really sick of the back and forth, you know, poking fingers at each other and not getting anything done.
Supervisor Harris.
Another piece on that I was looking at here is the options between metal and overlay and full runway reconstruction. I'm obviously not an engineer, but being familiar with road work in local conditions, I would almost think that the metal and overlay would be the best option, even though it's not. The service length doesn't seem as long. With the native material out there being primarily heavy red clay, if you've been out and looked at that runway and seen the giant cracks, you know, you end up with a lot of ground shift. So I would almost imagine the mill and overlay would create a better subgrade that would kind of float on top of that mud and potentially hold better than trying to go in and, you know, supplement the nasty red clay that sits under there right now. So I know normally, you know, I'd lean towards a full reconstruction, but with the conditions out there, it may be wiser to look at the cheaper option here simply because that ground moves so much and you end up with that stretch and pull apart. So just another piece of input.
With what we saw with the corings, it would not have as long as a life as we would want out of a mill and overlay. And when the FAA invests in payments, they're expecting a 20-year return on that.
Gotcha.
So we would not be able to get it based upon the conditions out there. And that's why the full depth reformation is really the most cost-effective solution for the conditions prevalent.
Is there a solution for, I mean, what does that look like under an airport as far as developing subgrade to non-incur, you know, 3-inch wide cracks?
Yeah, I'm not the engineer, so I apologize. But with the reclamation process, it's basically realizing what's there to create that strong base for us to build on top of. And that's where the cost savings come in. Instead of taking it all out and putting all the material in, we're recycling what's in place.
Okay.
So how does the FAA determine what they will fund? Is it just the amount that they only have available, or is there a formula that they actually put to use of what needs to be reconstructed?
So there's lots of parts to the answer on that. As a general aviation airport, you get $150,000 a year in entitlement money that is able to use at your discretion on projects. Mm-hmm. That doesn't go very far in today's prices.
Right.
For a project of this magnitude, we start needing to use discretionary dollars. So that's where some of the work to try to get the FAA to bring more money to the table becomes important. That was something that was done at EWI, for example. It is based upon the actual pavement condition index. So that chart I showed you, that shows the condition of the pavement. When we talk about length and width, that is based upon the aircraft that is using the airport. And it has to hit that critical aircraft requirements that they have. So 500 operations, takeoffs or landings of that aircraft or that type of airplane in order for them to be able then to determine the length and width that they would support.
And for a very long time, we were not monitoring what landed and what took off. Those numbers didn't come into this computation, did it?
This is newer regulations as the FAA is trying to do more with less.
Right. And is this previous administration policy or new administration policy?
This was previous, right. If not before.
So
that.
Is there anything on the table that may change that policy?
Not presently.
Do we have equipment out there now to monitor what's coming in and out?
Yes,
sir. That's what I thought. I'm about as frustrated as Supervisor Howe. You and I have had conversations about this before. I've been to meetings with the Transportation Department. We've had numerous conversations about this. I have voiced my frustration about the fact that we are going to try to shorten that runway. The minute we shorten it, we'll never get it back. So the longer we can keep it, the better. You know my feelings about that. It's frustrating to know that we're trying to, we cannot jeopardize the public safety of this county because we can't find funding or find our way through the paperwork to fix that runway. We have to have those aircraft coming here. We have to. We'll lose our entire county because of fire if we don't. There's just no way around it. We also will lose the economy of this county if we don't find a way to fix that airport and also increase the way it can be used. That's something we've been trying to do for years, and we keep finding ways to get stopped because of this exact problem. Your job is to figure out some of this. We're putting it on you. You just got over your shoulders, I know it. We need to get this done. There's just no way around it. And we've been trying to do it and keep stumbling. So we have to do this. We have to figure out a way to manage the FAA's inconsistency and inability to help us do it. And we have to figure out a way to work with our legislators because we haven't been able to get past that yet. So we need your help with that.
I think one of the challenges we face is even if we're working with our representatives, we need to find a channel other than the FAA to have those funds come to us. Because once we filter it through the FAA, we're stuck with the same rules and regulations. So it needs to be a different path, a different channel, and I apologies, I don't know what that looks like, because we end up in the same conversation of what is eligible for funding. Because typically, if we're talking to our representatives, they're able to, probably a bad word, but earmark some funds through the AIP program, Airport Improvement Program, which is, again, all the same rules and regulations. So how many aircraft are operating at a certain size? So there needs to be some outside dollars, whether it's emergency management grants or it's economic development grants, something outside of the FAA AIP dollars is where we need to try to find some of that money to make up the difference.
Well, let's look at our agencies for some help and some guidance with that. We've got the users out there. They should be able to help us with that in some way, in some capacity. And if we've got aircraft coming in there that need better infrastructure, then we should be looking to those agencies to help us figure out how we can do that. Let's not put the cart before the horse, and let's not wait until April to try to figure it out. You know, when we know these aircraft are coming in there and they need more support, we should be able to be looking at that and trying to figure it out before they land, you know, so that we can encourage those bigger aircraft to come in there so we can support them. We can do that. It's not out of our realm to be able to do that. We just have to put it up front.
Got a couple more.
Okay.
This is what we do. Talk about going around the FAA. Have we approached the Department of Homeland Security?
To my knowledge, we haven't.
Just an option. Because, quite frankly, I'm losing towns. You know, and this is directly connected to our ability to respond to my towns that keep turning down the western part of this county. It's definitely a public safety security threat. I would think that somebody other than the FAA would be tasked with looking at that condition and maybe even possibly FEMA when it comes to that. I had a couple of questions about, we've been focused a lot on the runway itself. What plans are, I'm aware of some other issues out there from an air traffic management standpoint. What plans might be in the works for expanding the areas around the tanks, you know, for the aprons and those kinds of things, because they get pretty darn congested, especially when you bring in a C-130.
Yeah, so I don't have slides in this deck on that, but we do have provisions in the plan for a larger area that could accommodate up to two C-130s to be able to be side-by-side for tanking and fueling purposes in a large area to accommodate approximately 20 helicopters to be able to do similar. So those are in the plan. Again, it's going to be, you know, how do we invest to make those available is going to be the real question.
And there's some way to orchestrate the dance between that and the seats that are in and out quick?
Yeah, as you are aware, once it gets really busy out there, they're bringing their own air traffic to support the operations. And that would continue. We don't have enough annual traffic here to necessitate an air traffic control tower, and that would be an additional cost to the county at that point as well.
The other question I have was air traffic safety. I'm aware that recreational gliding and the gliders out there pose an imminent threat. Because they're unregulated, basically, and they are in the way of the firefighting aircraft that come in and out. Who regulates that, and how can we fix that before somebody ends up colliding with one of these aircraft?
Yeah, there is no direct regulation on that. For the plan, we have a different location identified on the other side of the runway to help deconflict those operations.
They're going to be sufficient?
Yes, it moves them away from the helicopters, it moves them away from the fixed wing traffic. So okay. It would be very sufficient for that.
So you said that there is some air traffic control. I guess, Scott Valley, we have issues with the helicopters and the fixed wing and everything else. But out there, we routinely have a mix of fixed wing, a mix of rotary
gliders and private aircraft come in and out. There is air traffic control during those periods of time, and who's providing that?
Well, much like Scott Valley, when we did close the airport earlier this summer, we made a plan with the Forest Service, and they actually brought in a temporary tower. Okay. And to kind of control how everything's working on their own frequency. I'm sure you've seen those before,
yeah.
Supervisor. And it's also kind of an agreement with a handshake agreement with the Forest Service and CAL FIRE. If we do see things at Siskiyou getting chaotic, getting out of hand, or before they get chaotic and get out of hand, they will go ahead and request a tower too. So,
okay. Yeah. Who triggers that decision?
It's usually the CAL FIRE or Forest Service. The Forest Service triggered the one at Scott Valley, that's usually the direction they go, and then they pay for it, and it's all part of their package. So.
Okay, I have one more question. About 10 years ago, on this very topic, major controversy that we were dealing with FAA was unrestricted access to the runway, and they were particularly concerned with lack of fencing or any kind of restriction that might prevent people from just driving on the runway. Has that been cured, or are we still dealing with that?
At present, it has not.
It's not a problem right now?
No, at present, it has not been cured.
It has not been cured?
No.
Okay. Is that the plan?
Yes, sir.
It's been a decade. All right.
Okay, anything else?
So, for many years, the lease agreement with the Forest Service was $1 a year. And now it's come home to roost. I mean, we're looking at $30 million. It's not that we don't want to do this. There's no money. The county doesn't have $20 or $24 million to put on a runway that we're going to get $300,000 a year back on. It doesn't compute. FAA has invested in this airport. As a matter of fact, if we wanted to close that airport, we'd have to pay back all of the grant funds that have been issued to that. I'm more for hitting the new administration with FAA policy. They're a major investment firm in this. And then the other part of it is we need to look at how the major users, Forest Service, CAL FIRE, how they contribute to revenue to offset that. I know that our users currently, I'll call them private, if they buy fuel on site, the county gets a percentage of that in revenue, correct? Do we get that as well with CAL FIRE and Forest Service when they're using our facilities? No, I don't think so.
No.
So they get the use of the infrastructure at the county subsidizing, which obviously we don't have the money to do that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think that between our representatives on the Senate side as well, and maybe Congressman Bentz, because I know Congressman Bentz and Congressman LaMoffa work together, because this airport service is part of Oregon as well. We have to maintain what we have. I can see if you have to shorten it a little bit, but for the use that it's had over the years, because it's been a runway for Medford Airport when they're fogged in. I know that hasn't happened as much recently, but that used to be something in the past that happened frequently. So there's a lot of moving parts of this, but the bottom line is the FAA has to step up more with their investment in what, they hold us liable for if we had to close it. So, and I don't know how we do that other than getting to the new administration with our representatives to say, look, this has to be done, and you guys are going to have to figure out a way to do it.
So in response to that, there is an opportunity for a partnership here. I'm in contact with several of the retardant companies that want to make an investment here. No, sure, they're looking for a long-term contract as part of that investment, but they want to invest in this tanker base and get those tanks operational so that we can actually use them, get this airport functioning. So perhaps a partnership there with them and some of the agencies, and maybe us, with some horsepower from our congressional representatives, maybe we can make this thing happen.
And I think that along that order, if we're talking to other agencies of that, when you all sit down with them, I think you need to have two county supervisors with you, and bring in some of our representatives locally and nationally so that we're all at the table. That usually carries a little more weight. Nothing against you guys, but sometimes, you know, just pushing on it a little bit politically will give you the extra heave-ho.
And we appreciate that, but we need that extra political push.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments from the board?
And the only thing I would say is let's try to schedule a meeting within the next 30 days or at a minimum, or at least get something scheduled so that it's not just you come back to us in a few months and give us another report. I appreciate this, but we need to get somebody around the table and just start making a decision that makes this thing happen.
Would you like him to finish the presentation, or do you guys?
You have you may have enough from us.
You may not want more questions.
I really would just focus on the last two slides, and we just kind of talked a little bit about this. I think I presented this slide last time. You guys are not alone in this challenge of having runway that the FAA isn't fully supporting anymore. I've been doing this 26 years. The FAA funding hasn't changed, really, in 26 years.
The costs have.
Costs have changed significantly. So this is a nationwide challenge, frankly, that a lot of airports are dealing with. We've had, obviously, some uncertainty in terms of funding. We've had additional funding injected, which has been great, but we can't count on it is the challenge. The best that we can do from the consulting side generally is just making sure that our airport sponsors, you folks, have projects that are ready to go. So when the FAA comes and says, hey, I found some money, we're ready to go and make something happen. And then the next slide, just really zooming out as to the national perspective, the AIP grant money comes through the Reauthorization Act. The most recent one was passed in 24. That gives money through federal fiscal year 28. There are approximately 3,300 airports in the National Plan of Integrated Airport Systems, just like Siskiyou County Airport is. That represents 5,175 different runways. And in the FAA's own document, they've documented a $67.5 billion need over that same federal funding window. So we just don't have enough money in the system to accommodate all the need that's out there. If we were to take it by a per runway basis, you're looking at about $750,000 a year that would be available for each runway in the system. Pull it all together, you get $3 million, still not even enough to fund the 4,100, which we could get easy justification to have their support on. So bottom line, there is a ton of need in the entire national airspace system. Excuse me. So you are not alone in this fight, and we're trying to do our best to put you in a good position to argue.
There's more than that going overseas funding that should be staying home for infrastructure that taxpayers were responsible for. That's not your problem, but that's what I'm seeing from, you know, what's been happening in the past. So some of the money that's going overseas needs to stay home to help this very thing, because like you say, it's national, it's not just Siskiyou County.
Anything else for the board? Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Come back and see us.
Just to wrap it up, so my mindset's the same as yours. Public safety is the forefront for me. This is a big undertaking, a small staff in my department. I did notice, looking at the minutes from the last meeting, that Supervisor Hopp suggested a kind of airport action committee, and that was something that I would like to pursue if possible. We do need your guys' help when it comes to the legislative side. We're going to do everything we can for grants, but helping us make that legislation push would be really helpful. So any way you guys can help us do that, whether it be monthly or anything like that, something that I would like to pursue.
And what does that look like?
Just pursuing, you know, like
I mean, we've had an airport advisory committee in the past. We got rid of it because it became a complaint session, meeting after meeting. But if you have a committee that is made up of some of your staff and a couple of board members, something that's going to move something, I could support that.
Yes, that's what I would like. And along with the partnership with the Forest Service and CAL FIRE, you know, they don't want to see the runway get any smaller. They have nothing but good things to say about Siskiyou. They want to see it improve. You know, what I'm getting from them, I'm not speaking for them, is that they do want to invest in that place and help us out. So if we could put something together to where we could all sit down and make a partnership and push this thing forward, it'd be very helpful.